We're going to start out in Mark chapter 16. Kevin had received a call from one of the Forgotten Truths men, and he was trying to figure all this out. And I remembered an old paper, and I had only one copy left. So I scanned it in, and we sent it to him. And then, so thinking about Easter, I thought, oh, well, we were done with Daniel, so I thought I would teach this. But the paper that that the man asked about does more than just what we're talking about here, the day Christ died. We actually, I did a study of and tried to show every day of the week from the last week of the Lord. And the verses, you know, our gospel accounts are not put together in chronological order. But you can sometimes figure out the chronological order of things. And so anyhow, that's what this paper's about. None of that. Let's just start out by looking at Mark chapter 16 and get some details in our mind. In verse 1 it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." That's the Lord in his burial. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." So we get some details here about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The one is obvious, is that it was the first day of the week. And then the other is at the rising of the sun. So it's very early on Sunday morning that they came to the sepulcher and found that the Lord had risen. In fact, when you read it in Matthew's account, it says that it was nearing dawn. So when you try to figure out how early in the morning, but actually, come over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, the way it begins in verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone." I don't know if Mary Magdalene actually came before that first list that we read in Mark, and I think so. But anyhow, the point is that when she went, it's very clear here, it was yet dark. So we realize it hasn't broke day yet, and it's still dark, and when she gets there, the stone is already taken away from the sepulchre, and the Lord had already risen. All accounts, every one of them, say it was the first day of the week. So we know that the Lord rose Sunday morning. It is, you know, when we celebrate resurrection, we always, because he rose on Sunday, we always celebrate it on a Sunday. It lines up with Passover, which we'll see a little bit. But Passover, they weren't concerned about the day of the week. They were concerned on that's the Passover. The Lord was crucified on Passover, but Passover was actually dated, had to be the 14th day of the month. And whatever that day was, 3 days later, whatever day that would be, it would be the day that Christ rose from the dead. But we always adjust the calendar to make sure that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. And so, so here it is, Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. But he did, when he rose from the dead, it was a Sunday. So it did fall the way the Jewish calendar worked that year. He did die and then rose Sunday, the first day of the week. The question is when did he actually die then? And, if we know it was the first day of the week, then we start calculating. And one of the things that you know is don't trust tradition. Don't trust religion. Interesting that the conservative news people, they, this time of year, they bring in a minister, so to speak, to acknowledge the day and the Easter week and so forth. And so I've watched a couple Catholic ministers testify and talk about the resurrection of Christ. And the one, it was interesting because they asked him, well, what does the eggs and the rabbit have to do with the resurrection of Christ? And so, you know, he did the thing about eggs is, you know, is life, birth going to take place? and rabbits, they reproduce, and so resurrection is about the life that's in Christ, and so they go together. And then he bragged, and he says, "Well, you know that we, speaking of the Catholics, would take anything in the world and Christianize it." And I'm surprised he said that, because that's exactly what they did. That's why they have Christmas on the 25th and stuff, because it's actually recognizing pagan holidays and Christianizing them. It's not really true like rabbits and eggs have nothing to do with Christianity, but the Catholic Church Christianized it. And the reason I find that interesting, not only, you know, you realize the compromise with the world, but we in our Wednesday study for about three different weeks have been looking at that verse in 2 Corinthians that says, it's in 1 Corinthians, that in chapter 10, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And what Paul is scolding the Corinthians is taking and pagan, you know, going, being a part of a pagan festival and still honoring the Lord in the way they took communion, blessed the cup, and so forth. The whole point is come out and be separate from all that. And yet they don't separate from the paganism. They just bring the paganism into Christianity. Enough said about that. The whole point is that we know that the Lord rose on Sunday, and now we're going to try to look at it and figure out what day did he die. Come over to Matthew chapter 12. And this is significant for when we actually try to pinpoint a day and then realize the significance of it. In chapter 12 of Matthew, in verse 40, he says, they're asking for a sign from him. Verse 39 says, "And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas," speaking about Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So when we start figuring out and looking back, when did Christ die? The first thing, when I said don't trust religion, how in the world can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday? Religion says he died Friday. And so I just put the little chart up there, so each square represents a day. In between actually represents nights, but that for right now we don't need to go into that. But if he died on Friday, 3 days from Friday is Saturday, Sunday, Monday. even if you try to include Friday, you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but he wasn't dead on Sunday. He was on Sunday morning, he was already, before the daybreak, he's already alive. So, and then three nights. You have Friday night, Saturday night, but he rose before morning in Sunday. So there's no way, in any possible way, that you could get him dying on Friday and being raised on Sunday, and that being 3 days and three nights. And there'll be a verse that'll come up where I think they get it from, but they misuse the verse. But anyhow, that's to realize that, okay, it's not Friday. So what day is it? Well, there is a couple different ideas, and it's funny that when Stacy was telling me about the different preachers, I asked, what day did they pick? And she told me Thursday, and I was surprised at that, because years ago, when I first studied this out, almost everybody taught Wednesday, and now they've sharpened up, and you'll realize that it will be Thursday. But anyhow, there is a good movement on Wednesday, especially when we realize that he was dead 3 days and three nights. There becomes an argument that you can't be Thursday. It has to be Wednesday, because you have to have three 12-hour days of night, three 12-hour days of day. And so if you put it on Wednesday, you have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, but that would mean he'd have to raise on Saturday. So you can't get three nights, and then unless you started with Thursday, and so then you'd have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then raised Sunday morning. But anyhow, they tried to get the 12-hour days. Now, you would have it on, if he died on Wednesday, you would have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he rose on Sunday. In fact, come over to Mark, chapter 8. So this is after the apostles are told, after they acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, and as he's going to tell them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and die for the first time. It says, just verse 31, Mark 8:31. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Oh, so that would, a Wednesday, after 3 days. So that's after Thursday, after Friday, after Saturday, and he rose Sunday. And that would work. But there's a little bit of problem with that. Come over to John chapter 2. Now remember that phrase, after 3 days, he's going to rise again. So they're again asking a sign of him. And verse 19, it says of John 2, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus said." Well, the word Jesus said, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He didn't say after 3 days. He said, "In 3 days I will raise it up." So how can he be raised up after 3 days and raised up in 3 days? Do you know the gospel account that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, finish. The third day according to the scriptures. So how can he raise in 3 days? How can he be raised the third day and be raised after 3 days and all of that be true? Well, if you forget the idea that it has to be 12 hours of night and 12 hours of day, and why people insist that, there's no scripture that requires that. If he died on Thursday, and then he was dead Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then he rose after 3 days. But if you say he died on Thursday, you could say the third day from Thursday is Friday, Saturday, it's Sunday. So it fits both ways. Thursday is the only day where you could say both those statements are true, that he was raised after the third day and he was raised on the third day at the same time. Depends on if, you know, when you start counting the day, whether you count Thursday or you don't count Thursday. But Wednesday wouldn't work in either one of those cases. And so then you'd have, now you got a complication. Did you understand those days? You all look at me with puzzled looks. I had to work real hard to make sure I could say it right, because sometimes I get puzzled by it too. If he died on Thursday and you count Thursday, then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and after 3 days he rose, because he died on Thursday. Or you could say that he rose on the third day, so the third day would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday's the third day from Thursday. So I'm not going to say it again. I got it out twice. So the point is, it looks more and more that we're looking at Thursday. Now this one, I drew the timing, the night and the day, because this becomes really important. Because when we read that passage over in Matthew, it says the sign of the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, in Jewish reckoning, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and when God first created, the very first day, it said the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we always start a day at midnight, and we, you know, like tonight at midnight it'll become Monday. But in the Jewish calendar, from the very time of Genesis and the creation, God said the evening and the morning were the first day. They started in the evening counting time. And what the Jewish calendar does, or the Jewish timing was, 6 p.m. in the evening became the next day. And so every day begins with an evening, and then you go into the day. So I put on this list to show the evening and the morning the first day. And the reason I did that is the sign of the prophet Jonah was that he was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights. A pastor back in Florida always said, you never add to God's word, you never take from God's word, and you don't change the order of God's word. The order is 3 days, 3 nights. Even though when they count, they always count night and then day. But the Lord didn't say that's the sign. So that tells you that he had to die on Thursday, because Thursday, I have another picture, I'm just trying to see when I should do that. There we go. We know that he died. Come over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 45. I need to move this fast because there's something else I need to show you. It says in verse 45, then, well, not check. Okay. It says, now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. At about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Drop down to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he died by the 9th hour. And the 9th hour, if you start at 6 o'clock in the morning being the first hour of daylight, he was on that cross from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So when you start thinking about his death, by Thursday at 3 o'clock, he's dead. So you have Thursday, you have Friday, you have Saturday that he was dead during the day. And then 3 nights, you have Thursday night. Well, would be Friday night as they would have it, Saturday night, and then Sunday sometime impartial in that Saturday night is before it became day on Sunday, he rose from the dead. So that matches the sign of the prophet Jonas, 3 days and 3 nights. Now something else, come over to chapter 19 of John. And this is probably where religion gets all mixed up. In verse 31, it says, the Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath. Now notice the parentheses. For that Sabbath day was an high Sabbath. Because of that, besought they Pilate that the legs might be broken, that they may be taken away. And so they went and made sure that the Lord was dead so they could take and bury him. And then in verse 38, Joseph comes and they take and bury the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is that at that 9 o'clock hour, he's already dead. And this is the proof that he was already dead. And they want to take him down because it was the Sabbath. Well, that's okay. Friday, then there comes Saturday. He died Friday afternoon, and now Saturday's the Sabbath. But this isn't the regular Sabbath. This was a high Sabbath. And what it is, in a moment, we're going to look back in Book of Exodus and realize that Passover takes place on the 14th day of the month. And then after Passover comes the days of unleavened bread. The first day of unleavened bread is a high Sabbath. So what we're talking about, it's not Saturday that he didn't die on Friday and Saturday's the Sabbath, but it's a high Sabbath. It's the days of unleavened bread. And that's important for you to realize that he is a fulfillment of Passover. So if you don't, in the time we have, come over Exodus chapter 12. We'll be looking at this, so I'll read more verses in the next hour about Passover. The Apostle Paul says, Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. And he relates back to Passover and sees that Passover is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what Passover is. We'll explain that a little bit more. But Exodus 12, verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be unto you the first month of the year. To you. Anyhow, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And he gives a little bit more information, but drop down to verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out of the sheep or out of the goat, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now you'll see next hour how that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there, Passover is the 14th day of the month. But on the 10th day of the month, they had to take that sheep out, and they kept it out because they had to make sure that it was a sheep without blemish. And then once they realize it's without blemish, now it can be the Passover lamb and be sacrificed. And so that's what they had to do on Passover. And with that in mind, I give you another chart. Here's another proof that it was Thursday. If Thursday was the 14th day and Jesus Christ died between 12 and 3 on Thursday, then Wednesday is the 13th, Tuesday is the 12th, Sunday is the 11th, No, Monday is the 11th, and Sunday is the 10th. And the 10th day of the month is when they had to take the lamb and separate it out. Do you see the little donkey up there? We call that Palm Sunday. We know that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it's interesting, did I mark the verses, have you go look at them? No, I think I'll just have to tell you. because what I want you to do, go to Matthew 21 so I can make this point. This is really the most important point of it all. What it is it's interesting when you read about him entering into Palm Sunday, that he rides on the donkey, presents himself as their king, and the people are crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. But when he gets into the temple area, the chief priests and the scribes, they're all saying, who is this? Everybody else is acknowledging who he is, but he's being rejected. Now, when he rides in there, he's coming in, it's like Saturday night, but it's Passover's got to pass, so we're going to go into the 6 o'clock in the evening, which is now Sunday, and he rides into Jerusalem. What's interesting is when he rides into Jerusalem and the people are, you know, crying Hosanna and the chief priests and all saying, who is this? That it says that he just looked around. It's in my study, you find out when you read the book of Mark that he rides into Jerusalem and he doesn't stay there. He goes to Bethpage and leaves. When he rides into Jerusalem, like when you read it in the book of Matthew, you think he rides into Jerusalem and he sees the money changers and he throws them out. But when you read it in Mark, you find out he rides into Jerusalem, looks around, leaves. The next day when he comes back, the money changers are there and he throws them out. Well, the reason for the difference, if he came in on Saturday night, that's the end of Passover. Oh, excuse me. That's the end of Sabbath. When he rides into Jerusalem, there's no activity of changing money and all that because it's Sabbath day. But it's at nighttime. It's in the evening. So he goes to Bethpage and he comes back during the day, but it's the same day. It's still Sunday, but now it's the day on Sunday that he walks into the temple and sees the money changers and throws the money changers out and turns over their tables and all of that. That's on Sunday during the day. But he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and that's really the whole point of it. When he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the reason I have you in Matthew chapter 21, he comes in, and I'm not going to read about throwing over the money changers and all, but if you pick up in verse 12, it says, "And when Jesus went into the temple," this is it, "and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves." See, there's activity now. Why? It's not Sabbath day. It's Sunday during the day. And he rides in and these people are making money out of everybody who's coming into town because on Passover, there's going to be a sacrifice and there's days of unleavened bread and the people that are coming from all over the world have to come in and there's sacrifices they're going to need to do. And so they're buying doves and things like that at a higher rate. And they're desecrating the whole purpose of Sabbath. And that's why the Lord's throwing over the money changers. Well, when he does all that, look at verse 23. It says, "And when he was come into the temple," now this is, he's gone and he's come back. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him, and as he was teaching, and said, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" Now, they're taking on the Lord Jesus Christ straight on. He's teaching the people, he's even doing miracles, and they're getting pretty upset about it, and they start taking their authority and trying to override his authority. Look over in verse 23. Oh, we just read that one. Chapter 22, verse 15. Now what he does is he starts teaching them in parables, and they're not getting it. But in verse 15 of chapter 22, it says, Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true. Now the Herodians were the political group. So here's a religious and political group coming to the Lord, and they're trying to take him at his talk and entangle him in his talk. So they come to him and say, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Ooh, they got him, don't they? Either Rome is going to, he's going to say, no, don't pay tribute to Caesar, only give tribute to the Lord. And so they think they got a religious group and a political group, and they think they got him caught in between. Of course, you know the answer, don't you? Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, to God the things that are God's. But the whole point of that, why did they do that? They're trying to entangle him to find some fault in him, and they're not finding it. You get over to chapter 22, look at verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, and they give this analogy of this woman who's married to a man and he died, so the brother marries her, and they don't have any children with the brother, but the brother dies. And the next brother dies, and the next brother dies. Seven brothers die, and the woman's a widow. And in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Well, they think they really got some tricky ones here. And he answers their question in the resurrection, you're neither married nor given in marriage. But if they read the scriptures, they would have known that, and they didn't read the scriptures. But the point is, why are they asking him these questions? They're trying to trap him. and to see that they could find some fault in him. Look at verse 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hate each other. But they're working together here. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees heard they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I'll say. So now you got a lawyer and he's tempting him, asking, okay, what's the one law that's right? The law, Lord said, the law is broken down to two. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. Love your brother as yourself, your neighbor as yourself. And this hinges all the law of commandments. The lawyer's mouth drops open. He says, that's perfect. He couldn't argue with that. But the point is they're trying to trap him to find some fault in him. Look at verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They couldn't do it. They couldn't trap him. They couldn't find a fault with him. And you know what happens. Come over to chapter 26. Just to show you the timing. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all the sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And they assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So what they decide is we got to get him arrested and turn him over to the Romans and let the Romans kill him. And that's exactly what they did. In fact, when they're doing that, what is it, Chip? Look over at chapter 26 and verse 60. Verse 59. It says, now the chief priests and the elders and the council, this is after he's arrested, sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. In other words, none of them were credible, and it was obviously their false witness wasn't credible. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest rose up and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. So they finally get two false witnesses said he was going to destroy the temple of God. Did he say he was going to destroy the temple of God? No, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again. And so they're taking his words and twisting it, and, we can't find, what does he say there? Nevertheless, I say, what does he say? And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. And you know, when he gets turned over to the Romans, do you remember what Pilate said? I find no fault in this man. And what should I do with this Jesus? And everyone just yells, crucify him, crucify him. He said, why? What has he done? The point is, from the 10th day, he rides into Jerusalem, and they're examining him on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. For 4 days, they examine him to try to trip him up to find some fault in him, and they couldn't find any fault in him. And yet, on the 14th day, he was crucified, and we know why he was crucified. Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. He was the sinless Son of God, who his blood was the payment for all of our sins. They could find no fault. You can see the 10th through the 13th, those 4 days, they're examining him, and then on the 14th day, he gets crucified. And he fulfills the picture of Passover and what Passover was all about. And everything keeps pointing to Thursday, is the day that he died and rose again early Sunday morning as it was becoming dawn or even before dawn while it was still dark. So That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll let you work on thinking about that through. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for the resurrection of our Savior. Without that, none of all that he had done prior would have brought about our salvation. But because he lives, we will live also. And he is the author of eternal life. And he'll give that eternal life to all who have trusted in him. We pray that we can rejoice in that all of our life. We thank you for a Bible that's so specific that we can look at things that look sometimes contradictory, and yet when we think about them, they're accurate every time. So we thank you for the truth that we've learned today, and look forward to the next hour when we reflect a little bit more about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.